So, today we're going to talk about social networking. And that doesn't mean that we're all going to get online and send pictures of kittens to all our friends. Social networking is actually a science that goes back much longer than I think any one of you would expect. It's an interdisciplinary subject, and that it's of interest to sociologists, anthropologists, behavioral scientists, and maybe people working in other disciplines as well. We can define it as a social structure made up of a set of social actors. These might be individuals, groups, organizations, or even entire societies, and the relationships between them. And we call these relationships dyads. It's spelled D-Y-A-D-S. We also call them dyadic ties. Like any other science, the science of social networking has its own history. In the 1930s, sociologists began to create sociograms. You can think of a sociogram as a visual representation or map of the relationships between individuals. Then in the 1950s, we saw a mathematical formula being applied to social networking. And by the 1980s, we started to see theories of social networking emerging. Now, instead of being tagged onto fields such as sociology and anthropology, it is fast becoming a science itself, which we call network science. Now, in network science, social network analysts have identified three levels of network analysis study, which we call the micro level, meso level, and macro level. Micro is the analysis of interactions between small numbers of people, between two individuals perhaps, or small groups, families even. Meso level is the study of larger groups, but still in relatively low populations. We could put the study of business organizations or companies into that bracket. Macro refers to the study of interactions within an entire population. Of course, the nuances of local and individual relationships are lost when studying something at the macro level, and also there are practical limitations at this scale as well. Computing power, participant recruitment and study, quality of data collected. So, on the whole, when we conduct a macro-level study, we focus on the outcomes of interactions such as economic results or resource transfer rather than the sort of interactions you can study at the micro-level, which include social equality, reciprocity and mutuality, influence, prestige, and so on. Of course, the scale at which you choose to analyze a population will be dictated by the theoretical questions you are trying to answer. Now, most social structures can be visualized as a dense cluster of strong connections. Here, in this diagram, you can see these large gray circles, which we call clusters. These represent individuals with close social ties. For example, one cluster might represent the workers at one company, say, a hairdresser's, and this cluster over here might be the workers at the laboratory down the road. Information within these clusters tends to be rather homogeneous and redundant. That is, hairdressers don't have much knowledge about laboratory practices, nor do they need it, and vice versa. But if we have two different clusters, a laboratory and a university perhaps, the information between them is not redundant. It's potentially useful, actually. So if there is no bridge between two clusters with non-redundant information, we can say there is a structural hole. And any entity or any individual or potentially a service, like a consultancy which can bridge this divide, is in a good position, a strong position. They can access information from two or even more clusters. Anyone or anything that bridges such a divide is said to have more social capital. What they do with this information is up to them. They can keep it to themselves or use it. By keeping social capital to himself, an individual might hear of a job opening or an opportunity or use this information to forward to his or her company. Indeed, a 2004 study by Ronald Burt found that Among 673 managers working in an American supply chain, it was those who had strong interactions with different numbers of groups which were better paid, received more positive job evaluations, and had better promotion prospects. Interestingly, though, in China, a study of a high-tech firm concluded that individuals who occupied these locations in structural holes reaped no such benefits. They exercised no more control than individuals without these ties, perhaps due to the strong culture and values of communal sharing that exist in China.